chapter 12. We're going to start reading in verse 6. Just read a couple of verses here. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness. You know, it's interesting, last night, as I was finishing up, getting ready for today, the Lord redirected the direction I'd been going all week. And so then when I came to Sunday school and I heard part of my message preached, I thought, oh no, what am I going to do? Then I just realized we learn by repetition. And many of you are in other classes doing other things. But I think you're going to hear some of the same things you heard this morning. And I hope that it will find a lodging place in your mind and in your heart. You know, I was thinking about this thing called spiritual gifts. Last week we were talking about contending for the faith, and I was really looking forward to preaching on separation as one of the tools that churches use to maintain pure doctrine. But the Lord just kept directing me to the idea of these spiritual gifts, and I want you to know there is movements that are out there today, ones that are very popular in what I call pop theology, all right? Those things, those people that are very prolific writers, people like John Piper or R.C. Sproul, I want you to understand how dangerous these people can be. Do you understand? You just can't pick up anything and read it and decide, oh, that sounds good, it must be true. You've got to go and compare it to the Scriptures. You know, if you go and read the a little bit about the purpose statement and the doctrinal beliefs of that group I keep referring to called Together for the Gospel, you'll come to the realization that they are not what I would call cessationalists. You say they're not sensational? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying they believe that the speaking in tongues, the signs and miraculous gifts are still in operation today. Let me tell you, John Piper is out there influencing independent fundamental Baptists, and they have no idea what they believe, and whatever he writes, they just accept. Listen, we can't be like that. We've got to have discernment. We've got to have understanding. And listen, if somebody's going to start talking about how it's okay to speak in tongues, where else are they off on? We've just got to have a little more discernment than that. So I want to talk to you this morning about understanding spiritual gifts. By the way, let me tell you this. There is a large difference between spiritual gifts and talents that God has given to individuals. I've heard that everybody has some kind of talent. Isn't that true? I mean, some people have the weirdest talents in all the world. You can go and look into the Guinness Book of World Records and ask yourself, why would anybody want to be the best in the world at that? Right? I mean, who wants to spend 3 days awake trying to hop on a pogo stick? I don't know but somebody, I don't know if it's 3 days, but somebody did that. You know, 36 hours later, I get bored after 2 minutes of something like that. But you know, I don't know. People want to be good at something, but everybody has some kind of talent. Now, some people have more a prevalent talent than others. But let me tell you, something about a talent is it can be honed. Maybe you have some musical ability, or maybe you have to fight for everything you get. But you ought to be honing whatever talent God has given you. You say, should I really be out there? I hope pogo stick bouncing is not your one talent in this world. But if it is, go out there and be the best pogo stick jumper you could ever be. Do you understand? But everybody has some kind of talent. I don't know what yours may be. It might be singing. It might be playing an instrument or the piano or something like that. Not that an instrument and a piano are different. I'm just making an illustration, okay? Well, whatever your talent is, God's probably giving you something that you're good at. Some people have analytical minds. You can sit there. One thing I enjoyed when I was working secular work was to be able to sit and watch something that was supposed to be working, but it wasn't, and try to figure out not only a lot of the machines, you only saw it work when it wasn't working. So you'd have to go and sit and kind of analyze and see, all right, what is this supposed to be doing, and how can I get it to do that? It's a lot like pastoring in a sense, all right? You see people and you think, what are they supposed to be doing, and how can I get them to do that, right? Well, some people have analytical minds. Some people maybe not so much, but they are very artistic, and you can draw or you can make things that from nothing, it seems like. Those that are analytic sometimes wish they were more creative, and I don't know anybody creative that wishes they were more analytic, so I don't know about that. But what I am saying is this: while you are given a God-given talent, everybody has that. Listen, there are lost people that do amazing things because they have a talent. Now, it would be good if we all used our talents for God's glory. But I want you to know, everybody gets a talent. But not everybody gets a spiritual gift. In order to get a spiritual gift, you must be born again. And I'll tell you, as soon as you are born again, you get at least one spiritual gift. All right, so what's the importance? What's the importance of the spiritual gift? You know, I heard a story, and many of you are familiar with this. When geese fly north or south, depending on what season it is, they fly in a V formation. Bicyclists will not fly in a V formation, but they will cycle one after the other, the back wheel of one and the front wheel almost right on top of that, because it's more aerodynamic. And whether it's geese or these bicyclists, what happens is the person or the bird in the very front receives the most resistance. But especially in that V formation, the scientists tell us that not only are they more aerodynamic that way, but with that formation, there is forming a lift, and that lift is coming right back to those birds in the very tail of that V. And so what happens after a while is that front bird will just get a little wore out. He'll just be there for a little while, and he'll finally make his way to the back, where that lift will come and help him continue his journey on, and somebody else will have to step up and take the lead for just a little while. There's no bird that's more important than the other ones. Everybody's doing their part, but everyone has a different part, and it may change from time to time, depending on when they need to be up in front. But I'll tell you this, that's just like spiritual gifts in a local New Testament church, okay? Do you understand that? Everybody has a responsibility, and that God has given it a gift to every Christian to fulfill his will in a local independent Baptist church. Do you understand that? And so there are times where people need to be lifted up a little bit. We say they need to be edified. You ought to be using your spiritual gift to do that if somebody needs it. There's so many different needs and responsibilities. As a matter of fact, right in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul starts talking about the body. And he refers to the local assembly as a body. Now, I was reading this week about the Boston bombing. I believe it was back in 2013. Or was it? No, I think it was earlier than that. I think it was it 2003? Sorry, I got that 3 in my mind. I think it's 2003. But I was reading about that this week, and I was amazed to find out that there were 15 people that were killed in that bombing. There were 260 injured, and of that 260, there were 15 that lost limbs. Now, many of them had gotten prosthetic replacements, but if you ask them, would you like a replacement, or do you wish you could have your own leg back, what do you think their answer would have been? Well, they would have wanted their own leg back. Because while you can get something that can stand in instead of a limb, there is no exact replacement. You say, what are you getting at? What are you striving at? Well, listen, in fact, God has given each born-again believer a spiritual gift to use, and they are to exercise that gift in the context of the local church, the New Testament church that he has given us, and that person is gone or not here, then what happens? The body suffers. You understand? Now, you say, well, I don't do that much. I don't have... Well, there's something that God wants you to do. I don't necessarily know what it is for every person, but I heard an illustration about the body was having a discussion about who was the most important. And the owner of the body broke his left arm. And the right arm said, I'm so glad that wasn't me. and so is everybody else, because I'm more important than you are. And the left arm said, what are you talking about? And the right arm said, well, listen, what hand does our master write with? And the left arm said, yeah, but who holds the paper while you're writing? And he said, well, wait a second. What hand does he use to tip his hat as he's walking by everybody? And the left arm said, yeah, but who holds the briefcase so you can do that? Okay, well, listen. What hand does he use to pull the money out in order to pay somebody? And the left arm said, listen, who holds the wallet? Without me, you're going to be severely handicapped and not be able to do anything. As a matter of fact, this morning, when I couldn't hold his face and you were shaving, what happened? And the right hand or the right arm had to concede, you know, I did cut his face a few times. See, we might think we're superior. We might think that we have a position of prominence, but I'm telling you, there is nobody that is more important than anybody. Do you understand? We all have a job to do. Every one of us here this morning. So that is the importance. That is the importance of the spiritual gifts. But we need to identify our spiritual gift. Now, I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but oftentimes I will ask people, do you know what your spiritual gift is? And I'll get this look like, well, I've heard of spiritual gifts. But let me ask you this. If God has commanded you to use your gift in the context of the local church and you don't even know what it is, how obedient can you be in exercising that thing? It's going to be difficult. Now, I believe because sometimes just as we walk in the Spirit, we may not know how to identify it, but we know what God's called us to do, and so we may not be able to put our thumb on it, but when we look at our life, we can say, oh, you know what? I can see how God's been using my gift. But how much more, when we recognize what it is, can we utilize that gift for God's service in His work? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? If everybody's fulfilling their purpose and God's will in their life? All right, so I believe there's three types of gifts that God has given. Dr. Childs gave these to me a long time ago, but I like the way he broke it down. He said there are motivational, there are manifestation, and there are ministry gifts. The motivational gifts are the ones that we looked at right here in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. The prophecy. By the way, when you read prophecy in the New Testament, sometimes it can be a little confusing. And I never liked this answer when I was going to Bible college, but it's so true. Oftentimes, you have to look simply at the context of what is being said to understand what kind of prophecy it is. Because in the Old Testament, when we read about prophecy, we know it is all about foretelling, that which has not been revealed to mankind yet. And so God would oftentimes fill his servant with the Spirit of God and reveal to him, and that prophet of God would go to the king or go to whoever he was and say, this is what's going to happen. We don't have that today. I want you to understand very clearly, we do not have foretelling. And so when we read a passage like Romans chapter 12, we understand it is talking about foretelling. The gift of prophecy is simply being able to preach the Word of God, to be able to foretell what God has already given to us in His Word. Can I tell the future? In a sense, because God's given us some of the future. But anything outside of the covers of this book, I would be guessing just like anyone else. We have the gift of ministry, the gift of teaching, the gift of exhortation. We'll look at these probably not as close today, but I hope to look at these next week. The gift of giving, the gift of ruling, and the gift of mercy. Turn your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you will, verses 8 through 10. Romans chapter 12 was the motivational gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10 are the manifestation gifts. Verse 8, we'll read verses 8 through 10. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit dividing to every man severally as he will. I know I said to verse 10, but I can't stop from reading verse 11. Isn't it interesting? Even in the New Testament church here in Corinth, it was God who decided who got what. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. So these manifestation gifts, we're going to look at ministry gifts in just a moment. So, and that's in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. I'll read that in just a second, very familiar verse. But I would say this, the motivational gifts found in Romans are still with us today. Those gifts that were given to the Corinth church, the manifestation, were temporary. And then the ministry gifts were about half and half. Two of them were temporary, three or two, depending on how you look at that verse, were permanent. We'll look at that in just a moment. But I want you to understand, well, how can you just say that, how can you just classify a whole passage of Scripture and say that's no longer valid, but this one is? Well, I think when you look at 1 Corinthians, you understand, first of all, that God had given them manifest different, all these different gifts, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, that would be foretelling, discernment of spirits and tongues and interpretation of tongues. By the way, this is not really part of my message, but I want you to know on these tongues were not some gibberish that somebody had some secret language and somebody else would just stand up and start reciting. Listen, that's confusion, and God is not the author of confusion. When we see the gift of tongues in the New Testament, it is in Acts, and somebody is speaking out, and what is happening? Everybody is hearing them in their own language. It's as though I were speaking, and you would hear me in English, and perhaps Jennifer and Jenna Lee, if she was in here, and Brother Jed would hear in Portuguese, and if there were somebody from another country, they would understand in their native language rather than just what I'm speaking in English. Let me tell you, that is some kind of miracle. It's not just some babbling that somebody feels. And by the way, the focus was never to be on the person. Well, we're not going into that right now, but I'll just say that they were a manifestation. They were to much like the healing, much like the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, all these things were aimed at proving that the message that the apostles had were true. They said, okay, listen, I want to tell you about the gospel. And when I heal this person, it's going to authenticate that I am the messenger of God. Do you understand that? And so as they had these miracles, as they did these things, but, you know, this is what Brother Hanke was talking about this morning in Sunday school. In chapter 13, verse 10, look over there. This is why I believe that the Corinthian gifts of manifestation were temporary. Look at verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. Oh, I'm sorry, I got the wrong. That's verse 13. Verse 10. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Did everybody have the entire revealed word of God available to them when the Corinthians were using all these different gifts, these sign gifts? No, not at all. So when that which is perfect, what is that? As Brother Hanke said, this is a greatly debated topic. But I think you can prove it's not the coming of Christ, even as he said. But I will tell you, it is the coming of the word of God. When the canon was complete, God has said, I have revealed all I'm going to mankind, and this is all they need in order to have life and godliness. Is that right? Eternal life and to live for him. And so as we look at God's word and we realize, listen, we don't need an authentication whether or not God's real, God's word is real. He's proved that it's real. You can look and see externally. You can see it internally. You can understand that this is not just an ordinary book. This is not just a book that just is like a history book. This is God's revealed word to mankind. So when he completed that canon, when John put his pen down from writing Revelation, that was the end of the special revelation of God. So when that happened, what happened? The idea in verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. What is he saying? At the end of, what verse is it in? Okay, verse 8, it says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail, whether there be tongues. By the way, that idea of the tongues shall cease, it means they'll cause themselves to cease. Something's not going to come. And so when the canon was completed, they just trailed out. They just died out. There wasn't a need for that any longer. And so we don't have the miracles and the healing. Now let me ask you this. Can God divinely heal somebody if he so chooses? Absolutely. Does he choose? I believe he does. I believe he does. Does that mean he works through a man hitting people on the forehead? I don't think so. I don't think so. I've talked to too many people that said they've been diagnosed with a cancer or with some kind of disease, and whether it's through prayer or whatever it might be, when they go in and start with the treatment plan, they'll say, listen, we can't find anything. Now, does God do that every time? No. And listen, you can fast and pray, and if that's not God's will, then he's not going to do it. But does he and can he if he so chooses? Yes, and I believe he still does today. That's divine healing. And so whether, you know, when I pray, I say, Lord, whether it's through the medical technology that you've given us or through divine healing, whatever your will, would you heal these people if it be your will? You understand? Whoever I'm praying for. God can use any way that he wants to. But I don't believe today that he uses it to confirm his messenger. Turn your Bibles just very quickly to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11 says, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. I know I'm not doing a great exegesis today, but I'm kind of laying the groundwork, because we're going to look at these actual gifts, these spiritual gifts, in the coming weeks. But I want you to understand that when we look and we see apostles, there were some stipulations on becoming an apostle. You had to see the risen Christ. Now, is there anyone here? I'm not going to have you raise your hand. I'll just make a blunt statement. Nobody here today has seen the risen Christ. And let me tell you, because of that, you're more blessed. Do you understand that? More blessed is he that believes and hasn't seen than he that has seen and believed. So you are greatly blessed to be able to put your faith and trust in Christ based on his testimony, okay? But there are no apostles today, regardless of what you might see, the name, the apostolic church of what. Listen, there's no such thing as the continuing office of the apostle. That is gone. The prophet, I believe in this context, is talking about the foretelling prophet. Because it talks about pastors and it talks about evangelists, those that would be forthtelling. And so that garners it or puts it in the class of a foretelling prophet. God does not use special revelation anymore. When somebody starts their salvation testimony with, I had a dream and I saw, I think, oh, I don't, how we've got to get this person on the right road and make sure they're born again. Because that's not how God works today. He works through his word and through his spirit, through our conscience. Do you understand that? And so because of those things, when somebody says, well, you know, the old preacher joke is, well, maybe you just had too much anchovies on your pizza the night before. Maybe you ate too late, because that is not how God operates today. You say, well, why did Brother Hankey take so long to talk about that? Why is Pastor talking about that? Because in pop theology today, that is so rampant, even in independent fundamental Baptist churches, they are just eating this up and they're going to get deceived. I don't want you to be deceived. I don't want you to think that there is still this idea of tongues, because it's unbiblical. And I don't want you to think that, well, I've just got to speak in tongues to prove that I'm saved. Listen, that's ridiculous. How do you know you're saved? Because God said if you put your faith and trust in him, if you'll repent from your sins, you understand what Jesus Christ did on the cross in order to pay for your sins, and you trust in what he's done, you can have everlasting life. There is no proof as far as speaking in tongues or doing some, listen, why not just run around the church three times and put your time card in and say, all right, that proves it. That's just as ridiculous. So the manifestation gifts have passed away, and I believe half of the ministry. I don't believe that there are apostles today, and there are no longer prophets today, but there are evangelists. You say, I know we have people that call themselves evangelists. Listen, I think when you look at Philip, he is the picture of an evangelist. He's an itinerant minister. Every time you see him, he's preaching someplace else. And God is using him in great ways. And I heard one preacher say, if the pastor is the under-shepherd, then the evangelist is the sheepdog. He kind of gets them where they need to go. All right? But this idea of pastors and teachers, I personally believe that is talking about one office. It's the pastor and teacher, or the pastor-teacher, if you will. If you want to, I know some of you are taking some language over at the college, and so I'll just refer you to the Granville Sharp Rule. And you can go study that, and I don't want to get bogged down on that this morning, but I believe it is the evangelist and the pastor-teacher. It's referring to the same office, and so pastors ought to be able to teach. So that is, by the way, those aren't spiritual gifts. Those are spiritual gifts to the church. You understand that? God gave those gifts to the church. And so I believe you ought to use evangelists in the church. There's a lot of preachers. I'm not going to have an evangelist in. You got to be careful. You know, you want to make sure someone's not going to undo your whole life's ministry by teaching or preaching something that is not biblical. But you ought to use the evangelist, because God given them to the local church. And so I believe the apostles and prophets are temporary, but the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher are all still with us today. So what is the importance? I believe it's so that we can fulfill God's purpose in our lives in the context of the local church. Let me word that another way. So you're supposed to be doing what you're supposed to, so you can do what you're supposed to be doing right here in church. That's the importance. The inauguration, I don't think I mentioned that, I believe many of us are ignorant of what our spiritual gift is, perhaps because we've never really understood that we're supposed to identify that. Perhaps we're bitter against God and we just are not even walking with him. Listen, in order for us to fulfill our spiritual gift, I believe we need to be walking with the Lord and have the power of the Spirit in our lives. It's not just something we can add on, walk in the flesh, and then go fulfill our spiritual gift. That's not how it works. I think oftentimes we confuse our gifts, our spiritual gifts, and our talents. That's a major problem. Playing the piano is great, but it's not a spiritual gift. It's a talent that God's given. By the way, telling people about Jesus Christ is not a spiritual gift. You can't say, I don't have that gift. Everybody has that responsibility. Now, some people may be more talented, but just like you can have a talent on the piano and get better at it, or you might have to work for everything you get on that thing or whatever instrument it might be, some people just really have to work hard to get anywhere with music. Let me tell you, that may be how it is with you and telling other people about Jesus Christ. For you, it might come naturally. But you know what? That does not mean that you shouldn't hone the talent that God's given you. And for some of you, it might be a major undertaking and real work and effort for you to share the gospel with anyone. Listen, that doesn't give you an excuse not to do it. It means that you ought to just continue honing that ability in your life. Perhaps it's unconfessed sin, or perhaps you are not saved. You understand, the only people that get this is the inauguration of this gift comes at salvation. It's delivered to us when we get saved. It's not some underlying ability that suddenly just manifests itself. I want you to imagine if you went to a birthday party and you're looking around and you're looking for presents with your name on it. And you say, this one's not mine. This one's not mine. And you realize, A, it's not your birthday, and B, it's not your party. You say, none of these are mine. Hey, let me tell you, if you've never been born again, none of these can be yours. You have to be born again. But at that birth, you're giving a wonderful, wonderful present. Not only salvation, not only eternal life, not only will you spend eternity in heaven with God, but He has given you something to utilize today in order to accomplish His will. You know what the problem is? The problem is we don't see the importance. The problem is we're ignorant to what our spiritual gift is. We're ignorant to the inauguration or when. The importance tells us what. The ignorance tells us why. The inauguration tells us when. But the individuals tells us who. And here's the problem we have. We see other people and we want their gift. I heard about this missionary that was serving out on the field for many years. And as happens, it was kind of a not an industrial country, let me just put it that way. He came back and he was overwhelmed with the technology that they had. This is back in the late 80s, early 90s, I was reading about. And this man, he took a pastorate at a local church, and his people wanted him to be able to be on call, so they got him a beeper. Now, this is before cell phones, so they had this little beeper, and a little pager, they call it. Finally, he was walking around one day, and he was talking to his secretary, and he said, listen, I don't know why the people want me to carry this around. I never get a page on it. We're paying and wasting all this money, and I just don't understand it. And she said, well, let me look at it. Maybe you don't have it turned on right. And he took it out, and she said, well, that's never going to work as a pager. That's your garage door. He said, I guess I can cancel the repairman coming to my house tomorrow then, because the pager's never going to open up his garage door. Now, I'll tell you this. He had all the tools to get everything accomplished that he needed to, but he wasn't using them the way that he was supposed to be. Listen, if you will identify your spiritual gift and use it the way that God intended, I'll tell you, we'll have a powerful church that is going to do something with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I also heard about a couple of animals out in the woods. They said, listen, some of you are all deficient. We need to open up a school. And they said, all right, we agreed. And so there were instructional classes like climbing and swimming and running and all these different classes. And so the squirrel, who had been good at climbing, realized he was deficient in swimming. And so he took classes in swimming, and it wasn't long before he was not that good of a climber. Oh, he could swim a little bit, but what had happened is his climbing became deficient. The eagle realized that he was not a good climber at all, and so he began to take climbing lessons. But it was not long before he could not soar to the mountaintops because he had focused in this area of his life that he thought was deficient. The duck, who could swim, realized that he just couldn't fly all that great. So he spent a lot more time trying to soar to the mountaintops. But all the while, his swimming suffered. Hey, here's what I'm saying. A lot of people are looking around saying, you know, I probably should have more mercy in my life. But we go around and saying, I just ought to have this spiritual gift, or I wish I had this spiritual gift. And so we try to take a spiritual gift that isn't ours and devote our life to that, and what happens? Our real spiritual gift gets neglected, and we are no longer able to function and accomplish what God has designed us to accomplish. Because we cannot be envious about what everybody else is doing. Like I said, the left hand is no less important than the right hand. Everybody has a purpose and a design that God has given to you to fulfill in the context of this local church. Not of a local church, but in this local church. And when you're not here, or when you are not fulfilling what God has given to you, then the body suffers. So the question is, what is my spiritual gift? How am I to exercise that gift in this local church and am I doing it? You say, Pastor, you haven't helped me to identify my spiritual gift. We're going to go through that next week. Listen, don't miss next week. If you don't know what your spiritual gift is, I would be sure that you're here, because we're going to go through this list in Romans, and I'm hoping that before you leave next week, you'll be able to identify what your spiritual gift. Listen, I'm not asking you to identify what somebody else's gift is, although that seems to be easier sometimes. But I want you to know what your gift is so you can identify that. But I don't want you to be jealous or envious if it's not the gift you wanted. Because if you will exercise the gift God has given you, you'll find great joy and satisfaction in that. But the only way you can ever have a gift is if you trust in Christ and if you're born again. Listen, the great news is you can get a gift today. The great news is you can ask God to help you identify and start using that gift today. Now, that's a wonderful promise that we're given. But there has to be a desire on your part. There has to be some understanding on your part. And then there has to be some execution, exercising that gift on your part. Won't you ask God today what yours is? Won't you ask Him to fulfill your purpose in the local church that He's given to you, to serve in? And then won't you start exercising that gift? Let's pray together. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for the direction it gives. And Lord, I pray that You will help us to identify our spiritual gifts. Each individual I know has been given at least one, and maybe more than one. Lord, we know that to whom much is given, much has been required, but we're all at least responsible for the one gift that You've given to us, spiritual gift. Lord, not only have You given us salvation, but You've given us an ability to serve You. We thank You for that. But Lord, maybe there's some here today that have never received their gift because they've never been truly born again. Father, will You help them to see their need and to call upon Your name, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be saved from their sin. Lord, maybe there's some that have heard about spiritual gifts, but they've never identified their spiritual gift. Lord, would You help us to be acutely aware of what our gift is and to exercise it for Your glory, not for ours. And Lord, would You help us then be a very powerful, spiritual, mature church that impacts our society, our community, with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to edify one another, to be there for each other, to uplift one another. Do what needs to get done because You've placed us here. Listen, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask you just very quickly, maybe you're here today and you're asking the Lord, what is my spiritual gift? But you realize that you've never been born again. You've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen, no one's looking around. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'd like you to be honest with yourself, honest with God, and say, Pastor, I don't know that if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. I don't have a spiritual gift because I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. Listen, if that's you this morning, would you be bold enough just to raise your hand? Put it up and put it right back down. Look around one last time. Put it up and put it right back down, and I'll see it. I won't embarrass you, but I'll pray for you. I'm going to ask two questions to those of you that are Christians then. The first one is very basic. Pastor, I believe I know what my spiritual gift is. Would you be willing to testify and just put your hand up? You say, I believe I know what my spiritual gift is. Would you put it up and put it right back down? Some hands. Many unraised hands. Then let me ask you this. If you were able to raise your hand, I have two more questions. If you were able to raise your hands, would you say, Pastor, pray that I will use this gift in this church for God's glory. Would you say that? Just put your hand right back up and put it down. Amen. Amen. Now let me ask you this. If you were not able to raise your hand, you say, I'm not sure what my spiritual gift is. Would you start praying and asking God to reveal that to you? And I'm hoping and praying that by Sunday afternoon next week, you'll be able to say, there were many that raised their hands and said, you know, I think I know what my spiritual gift is, and by your grace and for your glory, we're going to use it in this church to fulfill your will, Lord. And I pray that you will help us to do that. And Lord, there were many, many that raised their hands and said, I'm just not sure. I just don't know. But I want to know, and I want to use it. Lord, thank you for that willingness. Thank you for that boldness. And so, Lord, I pray you'll answer that prayer, whether it's by next Sunday or before next Sunday. Lord, we want to start using these gifts for your glory. We thank you for your word. We thank you for these gifts that you've given to us to use. We pray it in Jesus' name.